Be seated, please. Well, people of God, you're looking mighty fine this morning. Beauty upon beauty, especially amongst the fairer sex. Welcome. It is so good for us to gather this morning. So let's begin with a prayer. Lord, we give you thanks and praise for the gift of this day, for the gift of new life. And as the rising of the sun this morning drenched the landscape of the country and our homes around us, may the light of the risen Christ drench the landscape of our hearts, in our minds, our spirit, our body, so that you would be in the words of my mouth, Lord. You would be in the meditations of our hearts, that both would be truly acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
In Isaiah, God says, I am about to create something new. God is about to restore the people of God back to their homeland. Remember, because of their rebelliousness and their disobedience, they've been cast out into exile. For 70 plus years, God is saying it's time to come back home. And when you return home, there will be great joy. God even says, I will delight in you. There will be long life for young and old. They will build new homes and they will live in those homes for generations. Vineyards and crops will be planted, and there will be great bounty. This is what the restoration of God's people looks like in Isaiah's time. On this Easter Sunday, we celebrate God creating something new. It is the restoration of humanity itself. Scripture says something new on earth is being created through Jesus. In him, the word of God is with us, bringing truth and freedom. In Jesus, the light of the world is with us, vanquishing the powers of darkness, healing all those brought to him, and restoring all of God's creation back into that right relationship with God. And yet, just to pause for a moment, just a few days ago, that we refer to as Good Friday, this new creation of God on earth had seemingly come to a horrible end. The crowd was shouting, "Crucify him!" Jesus, the light of the world, was hung on a cross where he said, "It is finished." And Jesus breathed his last. And darkness covered the land and filled the tomb. All seemed lost. Tears of grief and sorrow flowed. Hope was replaced with pain and fear and confusion. Yet, God was still actively creating something new in their midst, a new heaven and a new earth. And from the gospel reading that Tim just read, they were not expecting something new, were they? What they were focused on was their grief and their pain and their sorrow. The women were focused on bringing spices and perfume to anoint the body of Jesus, as was their custom. So when Mary arrives at the tomb and she sees the stone rolled away, Can we imagine what was going through her head? What was just stirring in her heart? She runs back to the disciples to share the news with them. And Peter and John, it says, they run, and sure enough, younger legs win the day. John arrives first. And they peer into the tomb. And then they return back to their disciples. Mary has come back to the tomb as well, and she lingers, and she encounters two angels. And here's what she's expecting. Woman, why are you weeping? Said the angels. Mary says, they've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. When she had said this, she turned and saw Jesus standing there. Jesus says to her, in a fairly impersonal way, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for? Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, sir, if you have carried him away, tell him where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Do you hear no expectation of resurrection here? No rising from the dead in the heart, in the mind of Mary. And Jesus calls her by name, Mary. And with that power of calling her by name, the power of name itself, she recognizes the risen one. And here is God's new creation. Here is our Easter celebration. Christ is alive. The linen wrappings have been cast off. The tomb is empty. The light of the world is shining as bright as it has ever shone. And as we sang just a few minutes ago, death is conquered. We are free. Christ has won the victory. Amen.
Amen.
There's still more to come now. Okay. For you see, still, there is more to God's new creation that is unfolding in this story, in this moment. Jesus said to Mary, did you catch it when Tim was reading this part of the gospel? Jesus says to Mary, go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. And this simple sentence pivots the whole world in understanding who you and I are and whose we are. Jesus, in this one sentence, gives us our true identity. Jesus says, we are his brother. What does that tell us? We are his brother and sister. Jesus says his Father is our Father. His God is our God. People of God, people of grace, people who are visiting, this is who we are. Members of God's family. And this is whose we are, God's beloved daughters and sons. Isn't that worth an hallelujah?
Hallelujah!
But it continues, and I won't go much longer. But it still builds upon itself. In the book of Acts, Peter is beginning to describe this family of God. And he says this in verse 34. Peter began to speak to Cornelius and the other Gentiles. I truly understand that God shows no partiality. For you see, the word says that God shows no partiality when it comes to the family of God. That's us, right? So here's what that looks like, is meant to look like. But so often we have such a difficult, challenging time to live into. All are members of God's family, Christians and Jews. God shows no partiality. Muslims and Hindu, God shows no partiality. Believer and non-believer, God shows no partiality. Little ones who were running in the church and little ones who were crying in the back of the church. God shows no partiality. Friends and foes, and we all have them. God shows no partiality. male and female, rich and poor, God shows
no partiality.
And oh my goodness, Republicans, Democrats, and independents, oh my goodness, thank you, Jesus, God shows
no partiality.
Straight, gay, and transgender, God shows
no partiality.
And no matter the beauty of your skin, God shows
no partiality.
For we are all members of God's family, God's beloved children. God welcomes us all, delights in us all, loves us all. God was creating and still is creating something new on earth and in heaven. Jesus died for each of us. God breathes new life into Jesus. And as he breathed new life into Jesus, into the resurrected Christ, he is also breathing new life into us. Not just at that moment, but throughout the centuries into this holy moment. That with each breath you and I are breathing this morning, we are breathing in the love of God that shows no partiality. We are breathing in the spirit of the risen Christ as we breathe this day. It's new life on earth and a new eternal life in heaven for each of us. That's got to be worthy of an alleluia.
Right? Alleluia.
And so we're getting to the end of these words. And you better not say alleluia. Baptism. We celebrate baptism this morning. The welcoming of the newest members of the family of God. They're sitting right over here. And they're beautiful. It's Nick and Gary and Jenny. This is a footnote. Jenny's been here for many years. And she had a remembrance. At least she knew that she had been christened as an infant, but had no record. It's one of those traditions in the church that you were baptized when you were old enough to make your decision. No record of that. And it's like Jenny says, I want to be baptized. What can we do? And I said, Jenny, we got you covered. We're going to baptize you again. If there was one, right? God. And it's true. We have you covered. But also God has you covered, Jenny, and you, Gary, and you, Nick. And I just want to pause. Is Andrew here by any chance? There is a young man who's been wanting to be baptized, and we said that we would do it today. I don't see him, Jim.
I haven't seen him, no.
All right, there'll be another time. Another time. And so baptism is a sacramental moment that announces to all who we are and whose we are. A moment when we publicly proclaim Jesus as our Lord and Savior, intentionally choosing to become a member of God's family. Remember, you were not being baptized into the Episcopal Church. You and all of us, we have been baptized into the family of God. And we seek to live out that life within this church, this faith. And so, intentionally choosing to become a member of God's family, forgiven, restored to new life in Christ, where we say yes to belonging and caring for one another. For you see in baptism, a reminder to us this morning, God is creating something new in us and through us. It is why we say to the newly baptized, you are sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism, and you are marked as Christ's own forever. It is why we ask you, the family of God gathered this morning, will you who witness these vows do all in your power to support Gary and Nick and Jenny in their life in Christ? And just a forewarning, there better be a hearty and loud We will. That's just not even okay yet. But you have a second chance in a moment. Your loud and hearty response of we will is how we proclaim, how you and I proclaim that we are in this together. Aren't we? We are in this together as the family of God, loving one another, caring for one another, even being accountable to one another. Wow, that sounds a lot like family, doesn't it? And it is all made possible because, alleluia, Christ is risen for you and me.